Okay, the second reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25 and reading to the end of the chapter. It can be found on page 960 in the Pew Bibles. Okay, it's titled, Do Not Worry, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, today, blasted your ears. Everyone's awake now. And we're ready to think about the desirable, yet I think elusive topic of relief from worry. We want it, and yet somehow we repeatedly fail at attaining it. Today will be quite simple, really. We're going to see two things, that worrying is useless. Really, that handling our material needs doesn't actually fix the issues we have. And then secondly, we'll see the cure to worry that Jesus presents to us. In one sense, we'll see an encouragement not to worry, to spur you on. But on another note, we'll also see, I think, a rebuke from Jesus to say, not only do you not have to worry, but he also says, you have to not worry. There is a command to what he is saying. But before we start, I imagine you already think you know what is going to be said, although Jenny Flower said, you have to listen to me, so you can't tune out yet. No, I'm just kidding. Up to you. But here's what I think you already think is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, do not be anxious. Do not worry, but just to trust in God. And then you're thinking, well, whether or not you think that's a good message, you know that as you sit here and you think about, you know, what's said in Matthew 6, you know that when you get out of here and you're met with the real world, you're met with your mortgage or your health crisis or your family crisis or exams or all those other things we face, that suddenly you're going to ignore what Jesus has to say. That actually you are going to worry. I think that's what we think. Right? Well, I want to acknowledge that before we start, that is something that we need to deal with. Because yes, I am going to tell you, do not worry, but trust God. But as we look at Jesus' answer, to worry, we'll see that there's so much more to it than just this vague statement of just trust God. We're going to see that actually he has concrete steps of engaging in mission, the mission of Christianity that will allow us to be relieved of worry. We'll see that whatever else we try to soothe our worries with will not and cannot work for us. because they will not last. And so our only true security is found in what God provides for us. But in saying that, in saying we're totally reliant on God, it'd be silly not to pray. So how about we start in prayer? Lord God, help us today as we try and see who you are, what you've done for us and continue to do for us. And help us in response to move beyond our worries and engage in the life you want for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see is where we worry pointlessly about the day-to-day things in life. Our God provides. And he does so in the big things and in the small things. As God, as the one in control of all things, he provides for us richly and comprehensively. Grab out your Bibles, open back up to Matthew 6 if you've shut them. And I want you to look at verse 26. Also, you might like to have your outline in front of you. That might help. So Matthew 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Well, we're not in control. We actually can't add a single hour to our life by worrying. The rat race that many of you are in or have finished, or maybe for the younger ones among us are looking forward to, it doesn't work. You know, you're running through this maze, but the cheese in the middle of the maze isn't there. I could say it had rotted away, gone moldy, but some people would like that. So let's just go with there is no cheese. We're scurrying around, keeping ourselves busy and worried by the things that add nothing to our lives. What on earth can we actually achieve in all of this? But God, unlike us, is in control. And as Jesus points out, we are far more valued by God than the birds. And yet he provides even for them. Well, not even the birds do what we foolishly do. They do not bother storing up barns of food, or to put it differently, they don't expand and diversify their portfolios of wealth just in order to make sure that they can take care of themselves. Well, what about the flowers of the field? Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Well, we certainly worry about our splendor, our appearance, and I mean more than just our clothes. But yet the flowers of the field, with no effort at all, outstrip even the most splendid and wealthy and impressive of us, those like Solomon himself. If God can look after them, the flowers, the grass, how much more will he look after us? On one hand, you have flowers that just look pretty. They're cut and a few days later, they're thrown away. And then on the other hand, Jesus tells us how we will be provided for by God even more so. So verse 31. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now, I'm not saying to you, go home and make dumb financial decisions. I'm not saying to you, you know, go blow it all on a new car or whatever. We should be wise in how we use and invest and save money or in how we dress and material things like that. There's still room for wisdom, but we need to be careful that we don't show a lack of trust in God's provision as we start to shift to building our own kingdoms, not God's, our own security, where we rely on ourselves. We need to ensure that we don't betray in our actions an attitude that we don't actually believe God cares for us. Because if God cares enough to look after the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more will he provide for us who he truly cares for? Now, are we guaranteed wealth based on that? By no means. No, we're not. But we are guaranteed that in all situations, God cares and he is in control. So yes, there are Christians in this world who are hungry and in financial need, right? And you might well be yourself, either today or another time. But it's not because God is not interested in caring for you, or that he is not in control. See, we're guaranteed that God cares and he is in control. But Jesus' point is that, well, there's also more to life than just food and clothes. He says as much in verse 25. So when we say God provides for us richly, surely that means his provision goes beyond these things. And it does. Just before the command not to worry in verse 25, look at how our passage started today. Therefore, do not worry. It's a bit of a cliched line, but when there's a therefore, we need to ask what it's there for. Look at what comes before. What we were looking at last week. Jesus' sound advice that where we need to store up treasure, it's not here in this life, but instead in heaven. That is, in our hearts to treasure eternal life. Not the fleeting, rotting fancies and nonsense of this life. Because I think, as we all know too well, death rots away any good that we might find in these things. The most beautiful, wonderful things are thwarted by death. Even stuff like, you know, there's goodness in relationships. There's goodness in, you know, you can take joy in having a family home or a dog or whatever. But it all rots away in the face of death as we feel that loss. And so eternal life is what we need to treasure, Jesus says, because it cannot be stolen from you. It does not decay. And in fact, it answers our greatest need in the face of the morbid reality of death. God provides eternal life, an unperishing treasure that shapes how we view the challenges we now face. We follow a God who has on offer a lasting hope, one that God alone, not mankind, not ourselves, can provide. So as we face the things that make us anxious, we must remind ourselves, God is in control and God cares for us. So perhaps the first kind of concrete step in getting past our worries is actually to understand the relationship between us and God. To see that he is not some distant, disinterested God, some irrelevant figure. I mean, if he was, then I understand the objection to Christianity. If we have nothing to do with God and he has nothing to do with us, to follow him would be madness. But no, God is involved in our world and our lives. And his involvement is not what you might expect from a ruling deity. It's not to simply say, bring me tribute, be my subjects. Our God is a God who, in his involvement in our lives, richly provides for us. Now, don't hear this as me saying that as we consider our relationship with God, the focus should be on us. It never is, right? Our focus should always be on God. The call to be a Christian is not simply to say, what can I get out of this deal? But it is to see who God is and respond appropriately. But let's take that concrete step of defeating worry by understanding the relationship between us and God. We see that God is a God who loves. Loves in the sense of putting us before himself. Which sounds like a bizarre thing to say of God, a ruler. He's not some narcissistic deity off in the clouds, though. In fact, the words we read today in Matthew come from the mouth of who? Jesus, right? Jesus, who has shown both humility and love for us. As God, who became a man and did so to die for us, to deliver that hope of eternal life, that imperishable treasure that he talks about just before. So, while we put our focus on God and serve him as our God, we must see his nature in loving us and in his love that he richly provides for us. And therefore, friends, we can say, do not worry. We serve a God who cares, who is in control and provides. But it's a bit more than saying, well, it's all right, you don't have to worry. In fact, Jesus commands us not to worry. It is a problem if we do worry. You see the command three times from Jesus. In verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. It's about seeing God's provision when we meet those moments of need and worry in our life, and keeping a heavenly perspective for our very earthly problems. Now, when we say don't be anxious or don't worry, we're not talking about the mental disorder of anxiety here. It's important that we see mental health as just that, and care for people going through these struggles. Jesus is not saying you're doing the wrong thing if you experience an anxiety disorder. With the disorder, we're talking about anxiety that goes beyond a rational, normal response. Here, Jesus is talking about the kind of worry where people see their daily needs, needs that they have for money, for food, for whatever, and they let those needs, that worry, control them, control their heart and where they place their treasure. As such, I think we need to view worry not just as a light-hearted thing, but actually a destroyer of faithful living. Now, what we looked at last week in verses 19 to 24 was a picture of what happens when you let worry get the better of you. Worry of how we'll survive in the real world, so to speak. The world with, in this case, financial burdens. And so, in verse 19, it starts by laying up treasure in the wrong place. And slowly but surely, it comes to a fatal end, where earthly treasure rots away, where we're not serving God, and where we miss the eternal treasure of those who do. Friends, whatever it is that might be your treasure, whatever drives your concerns, unless it is the kingdom of God, do not let it take hold of your heart. See, the second concrete step to beating worry is simply to have the right concerns. Instead of worrying about our material needs, what are we meant to do? Verse 33. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And the basic stuff like food, well, God will provide that. But we have bigger fish to fry. Given what is at stake, given who God is and what he's done for us, do not fall into that trap of worry. I've seen people caught by this trap, seen them caught in their worries to the point where they've forgotten what they believe. Students who give up on living for Jesus because they're too worried about their marks. Adults, parents who give up on Jesus because they're too worried about their job or their money or their relationships. But what do you worry about? Because Jesus says to you, do not worry. And it's a matter of perspective. Where does your perspective lie? Do you have that heavenly perspective to your earthly problems? So as we look to our solution now, let me quickly recap just a tiny bit. Firstly, we need to remember our value. After all, our Heavenly Father cares deeply about us, and he provides. We worry about things like food and clothes and other things for our material comfort. But do you mean to tell me that your life has no more value than just food and clothes? Things that will not last? It's a bit depressing, really, isn't it? To strip back everything that will not last from your life, view what's left and consider what that is worth. And yet we're told by Jesus, we are of value. In God's eyes, the only judge that counts, our lives are of value. We are of value. But as you compare that to what's left, when you strip back all that fades away and perishes, I think it leaves you with a question that perhaps may make you want to seek Christ. Right? Is there more to your life than just bodily functions and luxurious living? If not, find your worth in Christ. Now, secondly, we need to restore our priorities according to verses 31 to 33. See, too often I think we're tempted to think in the same way as the rest of the world. But instead, if we are to live free of worry, we must seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then those other things, they will be added to us by the God who is in control. Well, that brings us to what I feel like is the key to it all. If we are to live this worry-free life that Jesus speaks about, that he not just promises, but commands, we must seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And now when I think of seeking a kingdom, I tend to kind of cast my mind back to Disney movies and Atlantis and The Road to El Dorado. I don't know if you've seen them. If you have kids, you might have. But actually, seeking God's kingdom is much simpler than finding some lost city. It's a desire to be with God, under his rule, sharing in the eternal life that he gives. It's a desire to see all of God's people able to be together with God eternally. This is what we should be focused on. To seek the kingdom of God is to fix your eyes on that eternal life and want to be one of God's people who he welcomes into his kingdom. Look, the long and short of what we've been saying is have the right concerns. And then suddenly, all those other burdens, all those other worries, suddenly they're pretty light. Caring that people will be saved, just to give you an example, by you sharing the gospel, will actually answer the worry you have about how it would affect you at work. Or, on the other side of things, how about the worries that stop you from being generous? Or the worries that stop you being in Christian fellowship by coming to church? I mean, could the worry of appearance that we have stop you from coming to church because your life isn't in order? Could the worry of debt stop you from giving to church or to others? Could the worry of work stop you from representing your faith in a godly way on a day-to-day basis? See, I say let non-Christians worry about these things. And understand that if you follow Jesus, you have new eyes in these situations, a new perspective that lets you actually persevere through these worries. That is to say, stop worrying about all the wrong things. We are dealing with eternal life. It's like sometimes we only care about what's happening tomorrow. I like to think about it like this, you know, have you ever stood in front of the fridge, kind of it's hit 5 p.m. and you're going, right, what are we cooking for dinner? What's here? And you're worrying about that. Well, picture that, but your house is burning down around you. That's what we're like. We're faced with death, and yet we worry about our jobs. We worry about exams and money and all those other trivial things in the face of eternal life. Don't stress that stuff, because God's got that in control. Instead, your concern should be for God's kingdom. Firstly, are you part of it? If not, let that be your first concern. But secondly, if you call yourself a Christian, your concern should be, how can I seek the kingdom? How can I grow the kingdom and be God's servant? One thing I think would be helpful for each of us is if we said, look, at the start of my week, I'm actually going to be intentional and have a goal of saying, how can I seek God's kingdom? Because that way when you get to the bill that comes in the mail, or when your kid's crying and on the phone from school, and you have to focus on that, you've got that perspective. You understand your eternal hope and your job as a Christian. So, seek first the kingdom of God and do not worry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us every reason not to worry. And Lord, we pray that as we hear your command to not worry about earthly things, but to focus on your kingdom, that we'll be challenged and that we'll actually go out this week and each week thinking about how we can live for you and not be trapped by our worries. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.